Father, we gather like the disciples of Jesus and we seek to know him in the breaking of the bread. We know that sometimes we fail to see him in the poor, the suffering, the stranger, or the neighbor. Please give us stronger faith, faith that reaches out to those in need of your love, and excite us with the promise that we too will understand the scriptures and enter the presence of the Lord. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous about for joy, and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I have spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said this to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are a witness of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A young mother told her parish priest, "Father, I'm so happy. My son has finally learned a verse from the Bible. I have always encouraged him to read the Bible, and he finally did it." So she said to him, his favorite verse in the Bible is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 41, where Jesus says, "Do you have anything here to eat?" You who are parents can probably relate to that. Imagine if Jesus walked into this room right now and he would ask, "Do you have anything here to eat?" What would we say? We heard in the gospel reading that his friends gave him a piece of baked fish and he ate it in front of them. What would we say? Absolutely, we do have something for him to eat. And not so much to eat, but to give him, which is our lives. That's what Jesus is looking for. Lives that are dedicated to him. Lives in which, you know, his people keep the commandments, as we heard. In which his people are kind to one another, witnessing to his love, to his resurrection, his entire life. That's what the early church did. And because they did it, something extraordinary was happening. Their faith was stronger and stronger, and the world around them was changed gradually and reflected the world that Jesus envisioned. And this is what we are offered. How do we make that world that Jesus envisioned happen in us and around us? What must we do? What must we say? We heard today in the first reading that Peter encouraged people to do what? To repent and to be converted. Very helpful steps. Repentance, looking at life from a different perspective, better perspective, and what we must do in the world as Jesus' representatives. Repent and then be converted. Conversions, how do they happen? What must one do to experience conversions, small or big conversions? In the second reading, we were reminded that yes, we sin, but because we sin, we also have someone who is our advocate before God, Jesus our Savior, who died for all the sins of everyone. So this advocate intercedes on our behalf, offers mercy and forgiveness. Again, that's how conversions happen. That's why how repentance happens. Jesus offering his mercy, unconditional love to us. And he tells us, now you nourish people around you with these same things. So if Jesus walked in, as I said, do we have anything here to eat? We do. We have our lives that are called, with which we are called to nourish people around us. In fact, aren't we called the body of Christ, the church? That's our name, the body of Christ, the body that nourishes us. At the altar, we receive the body and blood of the Lord from the altar. Jesus' life circulates literally, physically within us, and then must be made visible. So again, Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. He opened their minds. Because when we heard that Jesus appeared to them, they were terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. When Mary of Magdala went to the tomb, she thought Jesus was a gardener. Remember the story? The disciples that went to Emmaus, two of them walking back to their lives, asking, now what? What do we do now with our lives? They thought Jesus was a stranger. He walked for 7 miles with them. And they did not recognize him until the breaking of the bread. Then, of course, Peter and other people that came to the tomb encountered, you know, that it was empty. They encountered an empty tomb. But then Jesus remembered and remembered how they felt, and he revealed himself to them. What do we have to eat? We have the body and blood of Christ that nourishes us, that gives us strength. And then Jesus tells us, you are witnesses of what I have done for you. You are witnesses, the witnesses of my life. And that's what Peter did. In the first reading, we heard one of his first homilies that he gave after he and John cured a man who was crippled from birth. They went to the temple to pray, and the man was begging at the gate called Beautiful. And Peter looked at him and said, I have neither silver nor gold, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And it happened. And then Peter used that opportunity to say, look, this man is cured because of Jesus who is alive. He wasn't cured in the name of a dead man. He was cured in the name of the one who is alive, the Messiah, the Savior. So people obviously started listening more carefully and responded to that message. It was like a ripple effect. Jesus was brought into the world and created something so extraordinary, and we are part of it. There is a story of a medical doctor who was driving on a secluded road, and he saw a dog lying on the side of the road that looked still to be alive. So he stopped his car, went to check it out. He picked the dog up, took it home, and he found out that the dog wasn't really that badly injured. There were a few scraps and bruises, but overall the dog was quite fine. So He nursed it, fixed what he could, gave it some food. And then when he was carrying the dog in his arms from the garage to his house, the dog jumped off and ran away. And he thought to himself, what an ungrateful dog. And then the next day in the evening, he heard scratching on the door. So he opened the door, and the same dog was there at the door with another injured dog. So think about it. That story is the story of the ripple effect. He helped the dog, and the dog understood. And there is somebody else that needs help. Brought his friend to the doctor. That's what the early church did. The ripple effect reflected what Jesus did in their lives. And they reflected it courageously in the world that was very hostile towards them. So let us have the same courage. Let us remember, we need to keep that ripple effect going. We are those that Jesus counts on, that we will do that. So let us courageously follow the example of so many in the Bible. And most importantly, the example of Christ that nourishes us with his own body and blood and tells us, you are my witnesses. You are the witnesses of these things.
Thanks for listening to this week's service. To stay up to date on the latest news involving our parish, please visit our website at goodshepherd-sc.org.